thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Good morning, church. Today's reading is from Psalm 107, 1 through 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Please pray with me, church. Heavenly Father, it's so good to once again be together with fellow believers. And Lord, I just ask a special blessing upon Pastor Jose as he brings his message. Please help us to apply it to our lives, and that church would be something that we don't just do on Sunday, but something that we carry with us throughout the rest of the week. These things I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You've heard of this phrase before, to be stuck between a rock and a hard place. And sometimes it is our choices and decisions that put us in that predicament. We think we are making good decisions, the best decisions. And sometimes we are making decisions because we don't want to face certain consequences. We're trying to minimize perceived conflict. And the thing is, right, the pressure that we might experience at that particular time sometimes causes us to cry out to God. But it's amazing, right? That's when you think you can't take it anymore, how God seems to put on the pressure even more. You know, when you say, okay, I've had enough, but you know that that decision really isn't going to cause you to pursue God. And I have a friend, right, and I'll just leave his name out of it. And, you know, he is somebody that at one point in his life, about 20 years ago, right, lost his job, lost his marriage, had a potential large lawsuit against him. And I remember getting phone calls from him. And he would say to me, why isn't God listening? Right? And I would say to him, well, maybe he's trying to get your attention. Right? And at times I would get off the phone and I would be concerned that he was going to hurt himself. Right? Because that's how bad it was for him. Right? And I remember, you know, talking to him somewhere near the beginning of the year. And it was almost like a year and a half later of that constant pressure, constant not knowing, constant, right? And he would say to me, does he listen to me? Right? But I know one thing, right? That somewhere in that journey, something happened to his heart, right? That all of a sudden he did that, right? He cried out for help. And the very thing that God can see, which is not the things that I can see, is he saw a change in his heart. And all of a sudden, life changed for him. Right? And all of a sudden, that change is the very thing that led him to this attitude of just thanking God. Right? Thanking God. And, you know, today he is again struggling. And, but his tone's a little bit different today. Right? And he is being reminded that the God who answered his prayer 20 years ago, when he was going through a difficult time, is the same God who is with him today. Right? And again, it is difficult to be stuck between a rock and a hard place. Right? But if it produces a heart that seeks after God, then it's well worth it. Right? And Psalm 107 is one of these psalms out of this collection of the Psalter of 150 of them. And they are grouped because of certain themes that are found within the Psalms. As I said earlier, Psalm 105, 106, 107, all of those belong together. And many theologians believe that this is a psalm that was written as God is bringing back the Israelites from captivity in Babylon. You know, and it's an amazing psalm, right? Because it's a psalm that requires the congregation to respond, right, as we are going through it. You know, the psalms are the hymnals of the Israelites, right, when they were in the temple. And even though we don't have the music, we do have the words, right? And here's the one thing you need to know about this psalm. There is a structure to it. There is the introduction, verses 1 through 3. These are the verses that we heard Micah read earlier. But then there are four dramatic stories, you know, of events that happen to the people of Israel. And the thing is, these stories also point to situations that you and I go through, whether we're lost, whether we're sick, whether we're in bondage, or whether we are out to sea, right? And also in the ground underneath us is unsettled. But then there's a refrain that goes throughout this psalm, and it's a refrain that you'll hear over and over again. And as you hear it, all of a sudden you should hear the crescendo, right? Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Four times that refrain is going to be said. But that's as a result of God's people crying out, right? And sometimes God lets us do what we do in order for him to get our attention, right? It's, you know, sometimes the perceived disaster is the very thing God is using to get your attention, right? So we're going to talk about the deliverance of the lost in the wilderness, for those who are in captive, in prison, for those who are sick and near death, and then the last one for those that are on a dangerous sea. And you'll be able to see each and every one of them. And then the end of the psalm is really about a recap and praising God for who he is. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who he has redeemed from trouble and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Right, you can see that God is gathering his people as he's bringing them back to the promised land. Right, and you can hear, right, the congregation, like if we were there at the temple and the priest was leading the congregation, right, through this song, right? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed, who's that? That's you, right? That's you. Say so. So at that point, you should be saying, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. He's the one that gathers us. He is the one that brings us together. Right? He is the one that makes us a people. Right? We can't do that ourselves. And right? Sometimes when I stop and just examine myself, I don't even want to be with myself. Right? It's like, oh. Right? But he takes that all away and he brings us all together, right? And as we've been learning, right? So anytime you see the Lord's name in all caps in the Old Testament, that is Jehovah, right? And when we think of Jehovah, we think of the God who made the covenant promises with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? He is the one that's going to keep his promise. He is the one who's going to push through, even though sometimes we don't want to keep the promises that we've made. And also we come to that first story or event. Some wandered in the desert waste, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. You start to see the theme, right? They're wandering. They're kind of lost. They don't know where to go. They're hungry. They're thirsty. But it's not just hunger and thirst. It is a hunger and thirst that wretches the soul. And all of a sudden, that rock and that hard place causes them to cry out to the Lord in their trouble. And guess what he does? He delivers them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reach a city to dwell in. Right? They were looking for a city. They cried out. And guess what God gave them, right? It isn't a city that they themselves found, right? It isn't a city that also and they could take credit for, right? It's a city that he provided. And then also we hear the refrain, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous work to the children of man, for he satisfies the longing soul. And the hungry soul he fills with good things. Right? That's, you're looking for a dwelling place, you're lost, and all of a sudden he gives you even more than what you're asking for. He satisfies your soul. Right? That's, are you satisfied right now? Are you content right now where God has you? Right? Or maybe you're in that rock, in that hard place, that place of pressure, and you feel that life is unfair. Right? And maybe the God who sees and the God who is sovereign wants you to get from point A to point B. And maybe that pressure is going to cause you to cry out. Where all of a sudden, he goes, ah, now I got your attention. Do you feel lost? Unsure of where you are? Or are you certain that you're exactly where you need to be? Right, the next story. For those that are in captivity, in prison, some sat in darkness and in the shadows of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. For they had rebelled against the word of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their head down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Right? How many of us, right, rebel against God's word? Right? We sit, we read it, we see it for what it says. And all of a sudden we go, yeah, I'm not going to do that yet. Right? And all of a sudden we find that our decisions, our choices, are the ones that are putting us in prison. We are the reason for the affliction. All of a sudden, we are the cause for the shackles that are around our ankles. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and out of the shadow of death, and he burst their bonds apart, right? All of a sudden, we got to get to the place where God hears our desire for him more than anything. And all of a sudden, he provides the very thing we need. All of a sudden, he bursts our bonds, right? And those are the shackles that sometimes we put on ourselves. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, his wondrous work to the children of man. For he shelters, he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts into the bars of iron. He does the very thing we need him to do. Sometimes captivity could be because somebody imposes that on us. But for most of us, it's captivity that we ourselves put ourselves in. Sometimes it could be a relationship, or sometimes the lack of a relationship. Sometimes it could be a job or the lack of a job. Sometimes it could be a family member. Or sometimes it could be a family member that we want to intervene, and what we find is that we're doing more harm than good. I remember many years ago, right? My younger brother, he was, you know, out in the streets, just lost, right? And all of a sudden, my mother comes knocking at my door, and she says, "You need to come with me. We got to go look for your brother." Right, and I looked at her, I said, "Where is he?" "I don't know." I said, "So we're going to go looking in the city for where you don't know where he's at?" "Nope, but we got to go look." I go, "I'm not going." Right, and she says, "Don't you love him? Don't you love me?" I go, "I'm not wasting my time." Right, because wherever he's at, he's in a nice warm house and it's raining and it's cold. I'm not going. Right? The only time I'm going to go is if he calls me and says, hey, I need help. Right? She was mad at me for about a year. Right? Because she thought I wasn't showing love and compassion. And I was just saying, I'm not co-signing your dysfunction. Mom, I love you. But sometimes that's what happens, right? We start to make decisions based on our emotions, and our emotions hijack us. And all of a sudden, what I remember was my mom was imprisoned, right? She wanted to find him, right? She wasn't looking for God to find him. Because here's what I did know that day, right? That even though we did not know where he was, God knew where he was. Right? I knew that. Right? But all of a sudden, God is the one that shatters the doors wide open. And all of a sudden, right, you can see clearly, right, your plan and God's plan. And now some are just fools, right? And when we talk of fools, right, it's the decisions we make. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquity suffer affliction. They loathe any kind of food, and they drew near to the gate of death. Right? It's when we talk about foolish decisions, Scripture talks about folly, right? The folly lifestyles. And here's the thing. Sometimes our foolish decisions will bring us right to the door of death. Right? And we sometimes don't even see it. Right? And not knowing, right, that anything can change in a moment. Imagine where the very thing that we need to sustain life, we loathe food. Right? That's why Scripture calls it folly, a fool's life. Then they cried to the Lord, and in their trouble, he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. And again, this destruction is a self-imposed destruction. It is something that they were seeking, pursuing after. Like some of us might be doing something we shouldn't be doing. Right, and maybe right now you're feeling convicted. Right, maybe you're late at night surfing the internet, and you know you shouldn't be surfing the internet. Right. Maybe you're concerned that if anybody was to grab your cell phone, of what they would see, right, of what you have been visiting. And you know, and then sometimes we get surprised, right? And when all of a sudden certain algorithms bring up certain things because we've been looking or searching or just stayed on it too long. When I counsel people that struggle in that way, right? Here's what I say to them. Get rid of it. Get rid of any electronic device, right? And you know what they say to me? But you just don't know, Pastor. I said, what don't I know? Right? It's like, what don't I know, right? It's like, but you just don't, I need this to do my job. Or do you? Right? It's like, the only thing you need is one of those, right, flip phones that you can make a phone call. Right? That's all you need, right? To let somebody know you're on your way. Right? But if you're struggling in any way, right, you got to get rid of it. You got to take steps in order to protect yourself because it is about your soul. Right? You could be right there by the door, by the edge of death. Right? And I've had many stories where they had a decision to make those decisions beforehand, and all of a sudden the wife finds, or the husband finds, that their spouse is doing something that they shouldn't be doing, and somewhere along the line, this was the last straw. And all of a sudden, a marriage is breaking, and children are hurting, and they don't know what's going on. But sometimes it takes that to bring you to a place of crying out to God in your trouble, and He delivers you. He heals you. Sometimes the very thing that brings us to the brink of death is the very thing that brings us to life. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous work to all the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of His deeds in songs of joy. And then the last one, right, is the storm. Now, many theologians believe that when the children of Israel were dispersed, some of the Israelites were working for foreigners on the ocean, on the Mediterranean Sea, because traditionally the Israelites would not be on water. Some went down to the sea in ships doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, His wondrous works on the deep. And He commanded and raised the stormy winds and lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven and went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. You can see them out in the open ocean. Have you ever seen those video clips, movie clips, where you have that ship as it's going up against that big wave, and all of a sudden you see the sky, and then it smashes down? Right? Some of you know that my wife and I recently went on a cruise, right? And that is what I don't want to be on. It's like, all of a sudden, that would not be a vacation, right? But you can see, right, that these waves are so big, right, that even, weathered sailors, right, because of those waves, feel like drunks, right? But here's the thing, right? Who controls the storm? Right? Right? Who controls the storm? Right? Because if you know your Bibles, right, we know that Jesus calmed the storm just like this on the Sea of Galilee. Right? And what amazes me when I think of that story is that in the midst of that storm, right, what was Jesus doing? He was sleeping, right? Right, he was sleeping. It's like Jesus was saying, "I got this," right? But everybody else was just nervous and scared. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. Right? It's like, do you think Scripture wants you to get something? Right? Four times, four different incidences. Right? Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. And they were glad that the waters were quiet, and He brought them to their desired haven. Right? He brought them to their desired port. And He got them to where they needed to get to. Right? And And maybe you might find yourself in your current storm right now, and you're trying to figure it out. And you're trying to dip and dodge and try to work it out. And God is just looking at you. He's saying, so when are you going to have enough? When are you going to trust me in this? When are you going to stop trying to handle it, Jose? Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous work to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Do you see the worship service? Right? These are stories that they're hearing, that they've been hearing, right? And they're stories to remind us, right, that just because we're going through a difficult time doesn't mean that God has abandoned us. If anything, he's probably more present than you can ever imagine. And then we're going to turn to praising him because of who he is. And also in what you see, right, is that God being sovereign, that he controls it all. He turns rivers into deserts and spring waters into the thirsty ground, a fruitful land into salty waste because the evil of its inhabitants. He turns the deserts into pools of water, parched land into springs of water. Right? He's in control. Right? He's in control, our God. He's the one that's able to do what we need him to do. Right? And maybe he is trying to get your attention now. Maybe you're here and you were, should I go? Should I not go? I'm so busy. I got things to do. I got to manage my life. And he's saying, when are you going to quit managing your life? And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish cities and live in it. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get fruitful yields. By his blessing, he multiplies greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. Right? He preserves. He sustains. He makes sure that you have what you need when you need it. And then he closes, when they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours out contempt on princesses. Right? Those are the individuals that are in authority. Right? Even though they're there, they're ruling. But in the end, right, he is over all of them. He makes them wonder in trackless waste, but he raises up the needy out of their affliction. My hope today is that you are one of the needy. It's a good thing to be needy of God, to need him in a way that you cry out to him. Maybe you're not in trouble. Cry out to him. Maybe, you know, life is going smooth, right? Cry out to him. Right? Because he is the one, the only one that can pull you out of your affliction. The upright see it and are glad. And all wickedness shut its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Right? To consider, to contemplate, to dwell on his love, his chesed, right? And chesed is that loyal, loving kindness, right? It's a love that doesn't diminish or shrink back, but it's a love that pursues, and it hurts, right? It hurts to love the way God loves, but he wants to love that way. So are you crying out to the Lord? Are you saying, God, help me? Right? And in the end, when he responds, our only response back to him is thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for being God. Thank you for not turning your back on me. Thank you for answering. And for some of us, we've been looking for answers for questions for a long time, and we haven't gotten it yet, right? But it doesn't mean that he hasn't been listening, right? Sometimes it's a hard place to be between that rock and the hard place, right? Especially when you think you've been there long enough. But here's the thing. If you're there, then maybe we should ask God why I am there. Like, why do you have me here, God? Right? And all of this is really to point to, well, what's your story? What's your current situation? And right, and here's part of all of our stories, right? When we stop and we look at it, right? It's first, I'm lost. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know where I'm going apart from God. Because of who I am, I'm a rebel. Right? And I want what I want when I want it, even when I should know better. And that leads me to playing the fool. Right? Especially when I start making silly decisions. And then sometimes all of those choices do bring a storm around me. But then God, right? He leads, he frees, he heals, he redeems. And that should remind us, right? Let the redeem of God say so. And as a result, we can all say, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous work to the children of man. He is the one that does an amazing work. And again, I'm grateful for my friend who hung in there, right, and was willing, right, to trust God enough. And now today, as he's going through another season of difficulty, not difficulties that he brought on himself, right, and you hear it every once in a while. As much as he's trusting in God, here's what he said to me the other day. Pastor, do you think he forgot me? Right? Because that's what happens when you're between a rock and a hard place. Do you think he forgot me? And it's like, here's my answer to him. What do you think? Right? He goes, no, he hasn't forgotten me. Right? And it's like, that's the God that he has put his faith in. That's the God that you and I hopefully put our faith in. He is the God that never will leave us or abandon us. He is the God of second and third chances. Right? He is the God of the underdog. Imagine this, right? That as an underdog, right, he makes you victorious. So it's good to be the underdog in his story. It's good to be the one that the world doesn't put you on top, because he has you already where he needs to have you. He is the God who is there when push comes to shove and life gets difficult. And all of a sudden we cry out, Lord, help. He answers. He answers. And we see that answer through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That even before we knew anything of what he was doing, he went to that cross. He went willingly, obeying the Father's will in order to conquer sin and death, so that we today, who would put our faith and trust in his finished work, would have life beyond this life. And with that, he's given us everything we need in order to live through this life, to make better decisions, to seek him. And he does all that because he loves you. He loves you. And when we think and stop of what that love is, it's God the Father has given each and every one of us Jesus, if we receive him with open hands, open hearts. He's ours for the taking. Let the redeemed say so. Would you pray with me? Lord, we are grateful. Grateful to you. Grateful for the love you have for your children. Grateful that you don't turn your back on us, but you do discipline us when we need disciplining. And Lord, we are eternally grateful for you. Lord, I do pray for each and every one of my brothers and sisters, that wherever they may find themselves this morning, whether they feel lost, whether they feel a little rebellious, foolish, or maybe they're out on unsettled ground as if they're out at sea, Lord, remind them that you have your eye upon them, that you love us. We thank you, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, amen. Would you rise as we worship our God?
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.